Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It's good to be here tonight. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Brother Jeff Raritan had said, the reason I'm preaching tonight is so that I won't be home watching the Giants in Super Bowl. It's probably about 40% truth to that statement. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Let's pray. Father, pray you bless this message, Lord. I thank you for the message you put in my heart, Father. I pray you speak to hearts, Lord. I know we're heading into a missions conference here. Real soon here, Lord. I pray that you'd prepare hearts, Father. Thank you for our preacher. Thank you for his vision. Thank you for a church that believes in faith promise, believes in giving to missions and to missionaries, Lord. Give us a good night. I pray you just would, your word would go forth as you see fit. We love you and thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Carry the light.
Thank you, Tony and Jordy. That was very fitting, that song, for the message tonight. Appreciate that. It was a blessing. Luke 6:38, again, if I may read it. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. Let's ask if I can go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Father, again, I just need your power tonight, Lord. I just need to do something, Father. I just pray you speak through me, Lord. I pray that you would touch hearts. I pray you'd, only you can do, Lord, speak to hearts and change lives, Father. I thank you for our preacher. I thank you for this church. I thank you so much for these people, these gracious, loving people. I pray you do work tonight. We love you and thank you. All this we ask in your precious and holy name. Amen. There's some things about the Christian life that are personal. There's some things that are not personal. For example, when we dwell as a believers in this church, it's not personal. We're together. We're all coming here in this assembly, here and preaching. We're together. But there's some things, some aspects about the Christian life that are personal. What I mean by that, for example, salvation. When you get saved, it's just you and the Lord. No one can save you. Your parents can't save you. Your neighbor can't save you. Your pastor can't save you. All I'm going to save you is Jesus Christ, but you got to come to Him alone. Amen. Realizing you're a sinner, understanding you deserve to go to hell, and realizing Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's very personal. It's just you and the Lord. Amen. Another thing that's personal I notice about the Christian life is our walk with God. It's very personal. In Psalm 55, verse 17, it says, David speaking, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." I don't know about you all, but when I'm doing my devotions, or I'm reading my Bible, whatever I'm doing, and my kids come down, I want to play with them, it's very difficult to focus on the passage and focus on Hallie and Caleb and Lindsay. You know, you're torn. Like, I want to play with them, I read my Bible. And it's a very personal thing. If you want to have a walk with God, you got to have some alone time. You got to have some time when you and the Lord get together. That's very personal. Another thing about the Christian life I found that to be personal is after we die, judgment time. Judgment time is personal. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 13 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered unto the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works." After we die, we stand before judgment. That is very personal. So there's some things about the Christian life that are personal between you and the Lord. But just as the Christian life is also personal, I also believe when it comes to missions and faith promise, that's also personal. That's also between you and God. Our faith promise giving, our time we're going to give to the Lord, that is also personal. As we know, as you all know, missions conference is right around the corner. We're getting excited for it. We're getting ready. We have a banner up there. As Brother Caleb had pointed out, Dela Cruz did such a fine job. And we're going to see flags coming up here. And all the ladies on Monday and Tuesday are going to be faithful and be thankful that they're going to be ironing and doing work to help us with those flags. And we're going to see this whole auditorium transformed into a missions theme. And we're excited about that. But as we prepare for it, let's ask ourselves a question. What role do I play in missions, and specifically faith promise? I'm not a missionary. I mean, what can I do? And a lot of this tonight might not be anything new. I'm sure you've heard all this before. Maybe it's nothing more than a reminder. But what role can I play in the missions conference? I'm not a missionary. How can I be a part of this missions conference? Well, the missions conference is more than just about seeing a bunch of missionaries-to-be or missionaries on deputation for a week and to fill out a faith promise card. It's personal when you invest something in it. If I can have my two teenagers come up here and help me real quick, if you wouldn't mind, fellas. The epitome of a teenager, Tony and Jesus. Help us, Lord. As you know, I use illustrations. You probably know I use illustrations quite a bit, man, because I'm a very simple person. I need to be told 5 or 6 times until I get it right. So, not saying this with you, of course. I mean, you're all rocket scientists out there. We'll get there next year. Praise the Lord. All right. Here I have two quilts. My daughter Lindsay let me... Can you hear me all? Oh, be helpful. It's in simple-minded verses that Brother Payne... Are we on?
Yes. Thank you.
All right. This quilt is was given to my wife and I for Lindsay. Well, it was actually given to my wife. Who cares about me? But it was given to my wife. Who cares about my wife? It's all forgiven to Lindsay. Everybody cares. It's always when it comes to the children, especially grandchildren in the room. Who cares about the children? It's all about the grandchildren. But this quilt was given to my wife and I for our Lindsay. And it wasn't, as far as we know, it wasn't handmade. It was store-bought. It was given to us as a gift. Now, this quilt, Mrs. Lewis graciously let me borrow for tonight for an illustration. It's a very beautiful quilt. I thank her for letting me use this. I have two quilts here. One is handmade. When invested, a lot of time was put into this. I knew nothing about quilting, so I'm going to say a lot of weird terms. But all the squares and the little things and the sewing strands and the thread, all that stuff came together. It didn't just come together by accident. Mrs. Lewis took all the time, made all this cool little figure eight thingamabobbers in there. Moving on. And she invested a lot of time in this. This quilt, nice quilt. All the cool little animals. I love Caleb and I, we love the crocodiles, our favorite part of the quilt. But Caleb Minkowski. Caleb Raritan probably likes the dog. This quilt was given to me. Was given to us. Not, as far as we know, it was bought from a store. Especially in Mrs. Lewis' case, when you look at these quilts, and especially if I was to ask her which one would be more important to her. Probably this one. Why? Because she invested a lot of time in it. She put a lot of effort into it. Again, I don't know how many hours. I'm sure a lot of hours were put into making this quilt. Every detail, every stitch, every thread, every needlework, the way the needle was positioned and the motion of the needle going through the fabric and putting it all together, so much time was invested in it. And for that reason, this thing would stand out. And it's a beautiful quilt, but even if for some reason it was the ugliest quilt in all the room, it still, I'm sure, would stand out because so much time was invested in it. There was an investment made in it. Another example for you, parents. If you have children who are in the academy and they start getting to that age when they can participate in volleyball and basketball, all of a sudden those games feel a lot more important, don't they? You'll see a parent when the kids are young, they may go to the game to watch it saying, "Go SBA, go Knights." But as soon as those kids, those basketball and volleyball players get on the floor, "You got him! No, refs, don't you dare talk to my child that way! No way, that was a basket! Go Knights!" Sorry, Lord, forgive me, please forgive me. You know, so much, because it's so much invested, your child's in that game, and there's so much invested in there, there's investment made, and I tell you what, when there's investment made, it's so much more precious. Just like that quilt, so much more precious. But let me ask you tonight, where are we tonight? Are we making an investment in faith promise? I'm not here to tell you to talk about any type of monetary value. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm asking you just general question. Are you making an investment in faith promise? Are you making an investment in faith promise? And if I had titled this message tonight, simply, are you making an investment? Are you making an investment? Before we go any further, I'd like to lay some groundwork. Let me ask you a question, real simple. Should I give the faith promise? Should I give the faith promise? I believe the answer to that is yes. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16, if you would. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. It says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Turn with me again, if you would, to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When I was in Bible college, they nicknamed this verse the Great Commission of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now listen, I understand about preaching to all creatures, or to being a witness in the Kankakee area. I understand that, because we go out and we knock doors, we go soul winning, we're on the bus route, we're out in the area, we live in this area. So it's not that
much to ask for us to get in a car, maybe drive 20 minutes out to an area and knock some doors or get in a bus route. I understand about witnessing and spreading the gospel to this area, to our Jerusalem area, our local area. I understand about that. But how can I preach the gospel and be a witness halfway around the world? What if I had a mouthpiece, a missionary? What if I had a mouthpiece, a missionary, go in my place? What if you had a missionary go in your place? What if we had a missionary go in our place? Let me give you an example. You go to work, and you work your 5 days a week, you work your 7 days a week, you get your paycheck, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to give a portion of my paycheck to Faith Promise Missions, and you give a portion of that paycheck to Faith Promise Missions, and then what happens when that paycheck goes in the offering plate, then the offering counters take the offering, the money, and they put it in the church fund, and it goes into the mission fund, and then your money goes in the mission fund in the church, and then the church sends that money, which you put in a plate from your paycheck, out to the mission board, and then from the mission board gets the money that you got from your paycheck, which you put in your plate, and the mission board sends it to the missionary. And then when the missionary gets your money that you put in, that you got from your paycheck, which you put in your plate, which was given to the mission board, the missionary can use that money to stay in the field longer, to print more tracts, to make more Bibles, and what it all boils down to be a mouthpiece. And how did it all start? Because, hey, someone decided, you know what? I'm going to give some money to Faith Promise. I'm going to put some money in an offering plate. I'm going to put this much money in, and I trust when it goes in an offering plate, it will eventually reach that missionary. And that missionary is my mouthpiece. And Mark 16:15 and Acts 1:8 come to life, because of the money that was put from Faith Promise in the offering plate. Let's look at it from another angle, if you would. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 28. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 28. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. For thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is in thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowest not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. Now I believe you can make an application for these verses to that of giving. Because, listen, these men were given money. The Lord gave them money and said, I want you to do something with it. I want you to use the money. I want you to make profit on the money. What better way to make profit on the Lord's money than using it to spread the gospel? If you're staying in this room, every single one of us at one time in life was presented with that gospel. We were. Every single one of us, I remember at 21 years old, realizing for the first time in my life, I was a sinner deserving hell, understanding I needed a Savior. And I'll never forget that day. And maybe some of you in this room remember someone even knocking on your door, telling you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you remember him coming to your door and saying, what is this Christian stuff? What is this Bible stuff? I heard about church. I heard about this and that, but I didn't hear about this Jesus and what he did on the cross for me. And they told you the gospel story and you got saved. Or let's make it more personal. Say you have a relative over in Russia. Not saved, lost. And Don Oswerdy, for sake of example, happens to be in the same city as your relative. I dare say you probably would be backing him up 120% because you want that person saved. That should be with every single person. And listen, all I'm trying to ask you tonight, are you making an investment? Listen, gang, if nothing else, leave here tonight. One point I wish would ring in our hearts. Am I making an investment? Am I making an investment? Man, every Wednesday we see those missionary letters being read. We're coming up on a missions conference. Man, it'd be wonderful when missions conference is coming up. We're like, oh man, I cannot wait to see the missionaries coming through. They're the one that's going to spread the gospel. I can't get there. I can't go all over the world. I can't get overseas, but they can. Man, they're the ones that can spread that gospel. They're the ones. And man, and every Wednesday night you read the missionary letters. 25 people got saved! Praise God! I couldn't be there! I couldn't tell those 25 people! You know what? The faith promise money that was put in there, that money that was given to missions, hey, they're spreading that gospel overseas because of faithful people like us back here are giving the faith promise. Hey, are we making an investment? It's so worth it. It is so worth it. Are we making an investment? Hey, I tell you what, if I leave here tonight, ask yourself the question, am I making an investment? I'm not asking how much money you give. I'm not asking about that. All I'm asking, are you making an investment? Are you making an investment? Next point, what happens? Pardon me. What happens when I give the faith promise? What happens when I give the faith promise? Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Got another illustration here for you. It's kind of a silly illustration, but I think it proves a good point. My wife told me I have to bring these cotton balls back clean. I'm very, very careful. Say, just bear with me here. These cotton balls represent what you're going to give to the Lord. Maybe it's a monetary thing. Maybe it's your effort in the missions conference. Maybe it's being a blessing to a missionary or whatever you can think. But these cotton balls represent what you are giving to missions. Okay? And you give that away. Well, Luke chapter 6:38 says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. So, God says, hey, if you give, it's going to be given to you. But he says, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over. So not only didn't give back to you what you gave to him, good measure, pressed down. Sorry, babe, these cotton balls are destroyed. So you're getting the point here, folks. This is what happens when you give to missions. He keeps giving. He keeps giving. He keeps pressing down. He keeps giving. And he keeps blessing. You'll never understand the blessing. It overflows. That's what happens when you give to missions a faith promise. That's what happens when you give the faith promise. When we give, he gives back like we can never understand. And maybe we'll understand until we get to heaven. When you gave your mission to faith promise and someone can go out there and tell the gospel in another country, you can't be. And so many people get saved because you gave a few dollars or whatever you gave. And that was a blessing to another missionary overseas. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Another verse, what happens when I give the faith promise? If you would turn to me, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Listen, if you give to God, he's going to give back to you. If you give away, he's going to give back to you. Liberal soul shall be made fat. But listen, if you don't give away, if you hoard it, you lose. I love, when I remember when I first came here 2 years ago to Faith Baptist Church, and you see the people with the smiley faces and the shaking hands. They don't have the shaking hands and the smile and the smiling faces and the good attitudes just because they want to know your name. Number one, because they're saved. But number two, because people who give. And listen, when you're a giving person, God's going to give back to you in many other ways. You're going to have accountants like, he's giving you in so many ways more than just monetary. He's going to give you ways where your accountants are going to shine. You're going to have the peace, which the whole world wants to have. It's amazing when you give, he can give back to you tremendously in more ways than you can ever imagine. And I can go down through this room and have testimony time. I bet you a million people, almost everybody would probably stand up and say, hey brother, I remember when I decided to give. I didn't want to give, but I just felt the lead of the Holy Spirit. I gave in to the leading of the Holy Ghost and I gave. And I tell you what, the Lord blessed me. I never regretted it. By the way, if you give, you'll never regret it. Not one time. I've never met one Christian who said, I gave and I wish I hadn't given that money. I met a million, including myself, that said, man, I wish I'd given, but I didn't. I wish I'd given, but I didn't. Y'all turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. What happens when I give to Faith Promise? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I'm just telling you what God says tonight. I'm just showing you verse after verse after verse after verse. Not what I say, not what the people in this church say, but what God himself says about what happens when you give. You get it back bountifully over and over and over again. He gives back to you. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You'll receive the blessings from God. If you give, you're going to get given back. He'll bless you with it. Following it, Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13. Same chapter, go a few more verses down. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. In 2 Corinthians 9, God is talking to the Corinthians about the matter of giving. Listen, when you give to Faith Promise, you're making an investment. Just like it said here in verse 13. I'll read it again here. It says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. Listen, when you give, you glorify God. You glorify God when you give. That's more important than anything. Pastor Angel, when he always, I noticed being here, when he always closes his time in prayer, nine times out of ten he'll say, Lord, when it's all said and done, when we leave this place, at the end of the night, I pray you can say that glory was given to you, that you received all the glory. That's the most important thing, gang. So why are we here? Why are we in suits and ties? Why are we in a church? Why are we serving? Why are we giving? Why are we doing the Christian life? Hopefully not for us, but to give glory to Him. Because one day we're going to walk the streets of gold. Mrs. Gomez and Mrs. Mary are right there, right now, in the streets of gold. No more pain, no more suffering, no more problems, and they're in the streets of gold. Hey, it's worth it all! Are you making an investment? I can't think of a better investment to make. And I tell you again, when you make that investment, that missions conference is going to be so close to you. My money's going to those missionaries. My time, my sacrifice is going to those missionaries. Are you making an investment? I feel sorry for those who don't make an investment. The missions conference is probably nothing more than just an event on the calendar. Can't wait till Wednesday's over. I gotta go Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to service now, plus Sunday night. Talk about his missionaries. Can't wait till it's over. That's probably someone who's not really making an investment. Are you making an investment in missions? My second last point tonight. How does my faith promise giving help my church? How does my faith promise giving help my church? It encourages others to give. It encourages others to give. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, if you turn with me, please. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Again, this chapter is talking about the Corinthians in the matter of giving. He said, hey, and a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Their zeal in giving. Hey, when they're excited to give, when those Corinthians wanted to give, when those Corinthians decided, hey, I'm going to start giving to those people who are in need, and people got excited. Holy cow, he's giving some money away. And he's happy about it. Well, that's pretty neat. I should try that. You know, you get excited about it, and you get zealous, and you encourage others to give. And what happens when others give? You get more of those mission boards up there in the hallway. You get more missionaries who are spreading the gospel. And because one person is excited, another person gets excited. It's a contagious. It can one after another before you got a whole giving body. How my faith promise to help giving help my church? It encourages others to give. It's contagious. It's very contagious. It's contagious. And it goes back to the principle that if the church is giving, the Lord is going to bless that church. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Again, I'll read it one more time. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. I forgot to bring it tonight, but Brother Sisk, I read his mission letter there on Wednesday night. And he was instrumental in helping this church when Pastor Starr was here. If you weren't here Wednesday night, if you were, you heard this. He was instrumental, Brother Sisk, in helping Pastor Starr start a missions program. And because of that missions program, as Pastor Angel said, this church was in debt, going downhill fast until Brother Starr implemented a missions program. No, not a financial program, not a program to a QuickBooks program, not a program to help boost your self-esteem program, not a program where we try to have the new basketball league program. No, he implemented a missions program. What happened to the church? 180 turned around. That wasn't by accident. And I remember Brother Sisk, I remember reading the statistic. Over his time of doing Faith Promise meetings at different churches, he saw over $6 million in Faith Promise money pledged. You divide that up by $50 per missionary. How many missionaries are getting money? How many missionaries are getting on the field? Because people are faithful. And it just blows your mind. I sit back and I'm like, holy cow, I didn't do the math. I should have. Anybody have a calculator here? $6 million divided by $50. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of people. A lot of people that are going to be out in the field because people were faithful in giving Faith Promise. And because people started giving, the zeal of the giving started in contagious and going to the next person, and then churches started giving, churches started growing, churches started getting on fire, things started happening in the church because of Faith Promise giving. And guys, listen, that church is giving! Hey, because he said, hey, you reap bountifully, you sow bountifully, you're gonna reap bountifully. They started sowing bountifully, I'm gonna start blessing that church. Hey, we're gonna see bus crowds growing. Hey, we're gonna see more people coming to the church. The soul winning meetings gonna increase. Hey, the teenagers are gonna start getting on fire. Hey, the teen meetings are gonna be excited. We're going to see people we didn't think were going to overcome the obstacles of life start overcoming them. And we're going to see miracle after miracle after miracle happen as we've seen at Faith Baptist Church. I've only been here 2 years, but I've seen many miracle after miracle happening from the people in this church. That's not by accident. What kind of investment are we making? What kind of investment are we making? You invest in Faith Promise. I promise you, this mission conference will be a little more sweeter. And you're going to desire to give a little more of Faith Promise. Oh, I tell you this, Satan will be on your shoulder saying, Brother Jason doesn't know what he's talking about. Whatever. You don't need to give the Faith Promise. Don't worry about it. You know, people will take care of themselves. No, you can't have to worry about your checkbook. Worry about the new boat. Worry about this, that, and the other thing. The best investment you can make, you'll see it forever come back to you. So let me ask you, where are you tonight? Where are we tonight? Do you want to look at a missions conference as just another event on the church calendar? Or do you want it to be something exciting and special to you because you made an investment? Are you making an investment? Are you making an investment? Or is missions conference just another event on the calendar? Just another thing that goes through the year. It doesn't really mean much to you. You're not really making much of an investment. I ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Simple message tonight with one simple question. Are you making an investment? Again, I'm not worried about how much money gets on my business, but let me ask you, are you making some kind of investment in Faith Promise? Missions Conference is coming up right around the corner. I just ask, Lord, you search your hearts tonight. I pray you ask, Lord, where am I in this matter of missions? Where am I in this matter of giving the Faith Promise? Where am I? What do I need to do? I want to make an investment. I want that missions conference to become alive to me, to become special to me, become a piece of me. I didn't mention anything about salvation message tonight, but if you're in this room tonight, can I ask you by a show of hands, if one person in this room might say, Brother Jason, I'm not sure if I died today, I would spend eternity in heaven. If that's your prayer, you're not sure that you're saved, would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Maybe one person in the room is not baptized. They need to be baptized tonight. Would you raise your hand to be baptized? Okay. Maybe someone in this room needs to come for church membership. If you need to come up, may the Lord speak to your heart about salvation, baptism, or church membership, please come up and see Brother Caleb. But can I ask you, if it's a matter of making an investment, the music's going to play in about a second. When it starts to play, can I ask you, are you making an investment in missions? All stand, please.